Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. The Gen 40 heaters are back in stock. With skyrocketing heating bills, they sold out and will go fast again. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. For this week or until they run out, you can get the stylish and strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater with code Howie50.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I can't believe, maybe I should understand this by now, but is anyone else surprised Fox is running with this? They're running with the Capitol Riot Committee proceedings. I just think it's got to be like a dud as far as ratings go. I just... Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are clamoring to just watch this snooze fest and hear about things we've heard about over and over again. And you know what I remembered the other day? We're coming up on the anniversary. And this is going to be something that for the rest of my life is every year brought up, trotted out, made out to be the worst day in American history, worse than 9/11, worse than the Civil War, worse than all of it combined, will be January 6th. And we'll be hearing about it for the rest of time. And so all of these serious people are going to tell us, including Adam Schiff, who peddled the Russian hoax, and Liz Cheney, who lost in such a glorious fashion just recently. They're all going to come out and tell us how, you know, Donald Trump is a bad, bad man. And again, I just want to reiterate, if he's such a loser, if he's got no shot, then why don't they just let him do his thing and he'll be his own destruction? But no, they are hell-bent on making sure that these criminal charges are referred to the DOJ or however you put it. I don't even know. 844-500-4242. I don't want to talk about that, though. It's on my Channel 7. It's on my Fox. It's everywhere. It's not going to be here. I'm going to give you guys a little something different because you know what I think is more important than January 6th? I know this will come as a shock to you. This will come as a shock to you that a few hundred crazy people running into the Capitol. I actually think that what's more important right now is to talk about what's happening at our border because we've got thousands of people crossing, hundreds of thousands of people crossing constantly. And no one, especially no one on this panel, on this committee, like Liz Cheney or Adam Schiff, seems all that concerned about it. And in fact, Joe Biden doesn't seem all that concerned about it. But there's a problem, you see. Well, there's several problems. One of them being that Title 42 is set to end on Wednesday. It's going to end in 2 days. And Title 42 is not a solution to the problem, but it has been slightly able to kind of hold back the river here, hold back at least some of the mass influx we're getting of migrants. Now, once Title 42 ends, it eliminates the option for the Border Patrol agents to send people back in a really quick manner. They will no longer be able to do that. So what's being predicted is that it's going to be there's no other word I can think to describe it. It's going to be a bleep storm. And it already is a bleep storm, so it's going to be even more of a bleep storm is probably the best way. Now, Governor Greg Abbott, and this is where I want you guys to really chime in here, because I'm not sure if people would agree with me on this. Governor Greg Abbott decides to sit down with Martha Raddatz. Now, in my time at the Grace Curley Show, I have heard so many excuses from the Biden White House about how none of this is their fault. You know, they've blamed COVID. They've blamed Trump. They've inherited a broken system. That's my favorite. The Republicans haven't offered up any solutions. We have a 6-point, 13-pronged plan that's going to fix this. the Republicans are using immigrants as political pawns when they send them to Martha's Vineyard. But when we send them all over the country on buses and on planes into New York in the middle of the night, that's okay. So I've heard it all from this administration. I'm old enough to remember when Jen Psaki wouldn't even use the word crisis to describe what's happening at the border. That wasn't allowed. And then the media parroted her and told their reporters also not to use the word crisis. Because it's a beautiful thing, the destruction of words, isn't it? Well, Martha Raddatz sits down with Governor Greg Abbott. And this is a new one on me. This is a new talking point. And I have a feeling we're going to hear it a lot. So we're all going to keep track of it now. When we hear this absolutely insane talking point from the left, Martha Raddatz delivers it. This is cut one. This is Martha Raddatz from ABC News.
You talk about the border wall. You talk about open borders. I don't think I've ever heard President Biden say, we have an open border, come on over. But people I have heard say it are you, our former President Trump, or Ron DeSantis. That message reverberates in Mexico and beyond. So they do get the message that it is an open border, and smugglers use all those kinds of statements.
So it's not Joe Biden's fault for having an open border. It's our fault for acknowledging that that's what's happening. In other words, Republicans are pouncing. Republicans are pouncing and seizing and weaponizing. This is some real gaslighting. And I know that word is overused. It was the 2022 Merriam-Webster word of the year. But this is gaslighting on another level. You know, it's not our fault that Joe Biden's policies have led to this kind of insanity. It's your fault for talking about it. It's your fault for acknowledging reality. If only Abbott and Trump and DeSantis would all get on the microphone and tell Republicans and Americans around the world, I'm sorry, Americans across the country, that everything's great, everything's hunky-dory, then maybe things would be better. I guess what they want, like what Martha Raddatz wants, is kind of the Fauci way, the noble lie. Tell people everything's great and maybe everything will become great. But because Martha Raddatz and Andrea Mitchell and Jake Tapper and Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon and George Stephanopoulos and all of these other hacks don't want to do their jobs, which used to be reporting, now they're mad that anyone else is bringing this to the surface. And you know the first thing I think of, I've talked about this a lot, Bill Malugin. Bill Malugin, former Abercrombie & Fitch employee, which is a huge strike for him. You know how I feel about that. Abercrombie & Fitch used to hire good-looking people. And so they hired Bill Malugin. And that is a sin that he'll never be able to wash away. The White House, it came out like a few months ago, the White House wasn't happy with Bill Malugin because he was at the border showing all the people that were overrunning all the gaps in the border, our border wall, all of it. And they were mad at him because they have like 99% of the media is a Martha Raddatz type of person who will say, oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. The only people who are saying things aren't fine are you. And that's the reason things aren't fine, because you're saying it. And that's what the White House likes. That's what they need. They need idiots like that. And so they got mad at Bill Malugin because he's being a journalist. And good for him, because it's such slim pickings. You have every story on the face of the planet, and none of these journalists want to touch it. They'd rather talk about Elon Musk being mean to his employees and Donald Trump's NFT cards than talk about our southern border. They'd rather talk about Ukraine's border than our southern border. They'd rather talk about LL Cool J and Joe Biden lighting the Christmas tree, or Hunter Biden and Joe at the Easter Bunny, than talk about our border. And now they want to tell us that the problem with the border is that we keep talking about it. What a load of crap. And by the way, Martha, and I know you've been doing this a lot longer than me, so far be it for me to give you any advice. You've been in this business for decades. But I would just like to remind you that Joe Biden actually did encourage people to come. even though you don't remember it. You've probably got a memory similar to Fauci's. You know, you remember things you want to remember, you don't remember things you don't want to remember. I understand that. But let's play this as a little flashback for everyone. This is Joe Biden. Cut two, please.
I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
You should come. Now, this brings me to the next part of this, and this is where we're going to take your calls. Because as angry as I am at the media, the corrupt media, the lame, I now understand why Howie calls it the lamestream media. They're just awful. It really is embarrassing at this point. Like, don't you get embarrassed? At least in North Korea, they kind of have a little nuance to their propaganda. This is just pathetic. But then the question becomes, why is Greg Abbott sitting down with Martha Raddatz? And I want you to call in and tell me if I'm wrong. But I read a story a couple weeks ago about how Ron DeSantis has created his own conservative media ecosystem, and he's not giving interviews to CNN, and he's not giving interviews to MSNBC. And that was supposed to be like a slight for Ron DeSantis, you know, oh, he's trying to control the narrative. And I thought, good, why are you feeding this beast? Why are you giving interviews to people who hate you and who have no intention of giving you a fair shot? Who have no intention of having an honest interview. Why do you keep going? And that was one of my biggest problems with Donald Trump. Enough is enough. You're not going to win. You can't beat crazy. These people are crazy. They hate you. Period. Full stop, as the kids say. And so it really irks me when Greg Abbott sits down with Martha Raddatz. And honestly, like, I know he had a response back saying, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. But not good enough. Like, you're not one of those people who can go on there and own the libs or dunk on them or, you know, you got to be ready for it. And even when you are ready for it, when you're a fighter like Ron DeSantis, you're still better off just ignoring them. You're still better off letting them spin their own tails. Why partake in their stupid propaganda? Why even indulge it is my question. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people will call in and say, well, you know, you got to keep fighting. You can't, you know, can't run away. But it's not like they even have any viewers, you know. So I sometimes understand why Democrats say, I want to go on Fox News. And you get certain Democrats over the years say, you know, I'm going to go on Fox. I know that, you know, the progressive left wing base thinks it's horrible that I'm going on Fox, but they have millions of viewers that I want to reach. You can't say that about CNN. You can't say that about ABC. You can't say that about NBC. You really don't have much to lose by not going on there. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about this, but I want to tell you something very important. Many of us think of Cape Cod as the place to be during the summer, but you know what? It's also a super special place during the off season too. And especially if you're staying at one of our favorite spots, which is the Nauset Beach Inn. Oceanside, you can book your room at the Nauset Beach Inn and have a getaway today. Special winter rates are now through March 31st. They start at $119.99 on weekdays, $149.99 a night on weekends. Overlooking Nauset Beach, the Nauset Beach Inn is the only lodging available inside the Cape Cod National Seashore. Every room commands a superb view of the great outer beach and the ever-changing sea. These are beautiful rooms. Everyone at the Nauset Beach Inn takes their jobs very seriously. They want to make sure you have the best time possible. Each room is spacious and clean and has two queen-size beds. You can enjoy these special winter rates. One more time, the rates are through March 31st. They start at $119.99 on weekdays and only $149.99 a night on weekends. That's a really good deal, especially for Cape Cod. So reservations fill up quickly. Book early at Nauset Beach Inn. .com. That's NauseaBeachInn.com. Get on the lines now and stay on the lines. If you disagree with me, or if you agree with me, about conservatives going on these news networks, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and doing these interviews so that Martha Raddatz can parrot whatever Ron Klain told her to, I just think it's a stupid idea. I wonder if people agree. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
We missed Liz Cheney's opening statement. I do apologize to my listeners. I hope you forgive me for not taking it live. I'm sure you're all recording it. You plan on watching it over and over again tonight, so that does bring me some solace that you didn't completely miss it. Right now, though, we're talking about what's happening with the border. Title 42 is ending in 2 days, and the left is rolling out a new talking point brought to you courtesy of Martha Raddatz, who said that she's never heard President Biden tell people that the border's open, but she has heard Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis and Governor Greg Abbott from Texas say it, which means that it's their fault that people are getting the message and coming to the border. If you're listening to me say that and are thinking, there's no possible way Martha Raddatz said that, it's just too dumb, well, you obviously don't know Martha as well as I do. She did say that, and it's absurd. And it begs the question, like, why is Governor Greg Abbott doing these interviews with Martha Raddatz? And as I was saying that, I was scrolling through Twitter. You know what just came out is Joe Biden's interview with Drew Barrymore. So riddle me this. The president of the United States, who's going to bring back normalcy and reach across the aisle and lunch bucket Joe, he can hand select his interviews, because the ones with George Stephanopoulos and Martha Raddatz, those wouldn't be softball enough for Joe Biden. They would be soft as hell, but not soft enough for the chocolate chip ice cream man. So he's going to go on with Drew Barrymore, because hooray for Hollywood. He's going to go on with Drew Barrymore, but Republicans have to keep kind of going in to these unfair situations and just adding fuel to this fire? I don't think so. Let's go to the callers here. Let's start with Mark. You're first up. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Grace. So Martha Raddatz says if we weren't talking about it, it wouldn't be a problem, right? So I guess Democrats are to blame for racism because that's all they talk about, right? Is that how it works?
Very, very good point. I think what it is, Mark, is, and it's something we've seen a lot, which is this idea of like pouncing and weaponizing and seizing. In other words, the issue is never the fault of Democrats. Like, whatever the issue is, if it can be blamed on Joe Biden, if it can be blamed on Kamala Harris, then the issue becomes Republicans' reaction to it. So we're either overreacting, or our reactions are drawing more attention to it, or our reactions are to blame. It's really kind of sick stuff when you think about it, because you're forced to live in this alternate reality where if only you didn't talk about it, then maybe it wouldn't be a problem. You know, if only you didn't focus on it so much, then it's like an abusive relationship or something, the way they want to play this. And you're right. You're right. Coming from people who spend all day talking about racism and sexism and all these things. And I guess I should say that same thing to Martha Raddatz. Well, maybe if Democrats didn't talk about all these problems, it would go away. Right, Martha? Isn't that your theory here? Mike, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
I mean, I would imagine Greg Abbott at some point has higher aspirations than just governor of Texas. So for him, my thought is that this is batting practice, right? Like, you've got to get out there and show that you can push back. And as a conservative voter, I see him, I watch her ask the question, and I have 8 or 10 responses myself right there, and they don't come out of his mouth. It just shows that he doesn't have what it takes.
Absolutely.
So I'm all for it. I think they should all be lining up to demonstrate to us that the reason Trump won in 2016, that he won me as a voter, is because he was able to smash them back in the mouth when they would throw at him. So he turned out to be a phenomenal policy president, but leading up throughout the primary, it was his go-to was, I'm going to fight back. And he did. And if they can't in a cushy interview like this, you know, best of luck, but you don't get my vote, because it just shows that you can't even push back against somebody who's going to be a debate moderator. Let's be honest. Martha Raddatz has swayed presidential debates in the past. She's going to do it again.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. Two things. One, your first reaction about Abbott not having any responses. I 100% agree. It was the first thing my dad called me about this morning. He said, like, what the hell? The guy can't reference, you know, past debates. Every conservative out there who follows this stuff, just like Mike said, had 10 things ready to go at that moment. The second part, and I'll wait till the other side to disagree with you, but as far as Trump goes, I think you're right in the sense that he took advantage of going on with the mainstream media and being able to fight back. But I even think at the end, he did it too often. and it actually came back to haunt him in a lot of ways. And I think DeSantis is handling this better by just ignoring them completely. I'll make my case. I'll take more calls. It's 844-500-4242. We're just getting started. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
I'm noticing a trend that's just dawned on me. Remember when Joy Reid was talking about how Republicans didn't really know what inflation meant because it's not something that's in our vocabulary, in our fourth grade vocabulary. I'm paraphrasing here, but she did say, like, you know, it's not something common on the common tongue or something very condescending. And then I remember after the club shooting in Colorado that we were told that it was right-wing rhetoric and people complaining about drag queen brunches that caused the shooting. And so basically, anytime Republicans open their mouth, anytime Republicans talk about anything without praising Democrats or praising the left-wing agenda or praising, you know, surgeries for minors or praising illegal aliens swarming the border, if you're not on board with all of that, if you don't think it's all wonderful, then you're the problem. And I want to play this cut again of Martha Raddatz because I really do think it's one of the most important cuts you're going to hear today. This will be the new talking point. This will be the new strategy. Remember that six-point plan Karine Jean-Pierre was talking about? This is probably one of the points, is start to tell people that it's Republicans' fault that the border's overrun because they won't stop talking about how our border's overrun. It sounds too stupid to work, but it just might. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of stupid people out there. And I've seen, like, the metamorphosis, the moving of the goalposts on this. We had, you know, Joe Biden's not visiting the border because there's more important things going on. Again, his Drew Barrymore interview. Very, very vital for the health of our democracy. We also heard that they inherited a broken system from Donald Trump. Donald Trump was racist and xenophobic. We heard that it was all Ron DeSantis' fault for taking some of the illegal aliens and sending them to Martha's Vineyard. And now we finally landed on this latest propaganda from Martha Raddatz. And she's so happy to parrot it. You know, she's so happy to be a good foot soldier for the Biden administration. Take a listen to Martha Raddatz from ABC. This is cut one.
You talk about the border wall. You talk about open borders. I don't think I've ever heard President Biden say, we have an open border. Come on over. But people I have heard.
Pause it there for a second. You know what I would have said right then? And I would never want to be a politician, but like that last caller, Mike said, I already have 16 things that would be boiling on the tip of my tongue at that point, listening to Martha Raddatz. I would say, you know what, Martha, I'm glad you brought that up because I don't really hear him talking about this border at all. End of story. I don't hear him talking about it at all. In fact, Martha, unless you can fact check me here, but unless I have wrong information, I don't think he's visited the border. And in fact, Martha, last week when he was in Arizona at a chip manufacturing plant and he could have easily stopped by the border, he didn't because he said he had more important things to do. Now, Martha, you cover this White House, right? Can you tell me some of the more important things the president has to do? Was the Drew Barrymore interview more important, do you think, than visiting the border? Was shopping in Nantucket more important than visiting the border? Was staying at the home of a billionaire hedge fund equity partner, was that more important than visiting the border? How about the scoops of ice cream and the lobster with French President Emmanuel Macron? Is that more important than visiting the border? You tell me, Martha, because I haven't heard diddly squat from this president about the border. And in fact, Martha, while we're sitting here, when was the last time you talked to Joe? When was the last time you held a press conference? When was the last time you got to sit down with Joe like you're sitting down with me here? What's that? It's been a while, has it? Now, again, these are just things that have come to my mind right now. And I know you're sitting at home, and I bet 15 more things have come to your mind. But you got to be ready for this. If you're going to go in to this real lose-lose situation, you at least better come out swinging. You don't just, you know, look at her and come back with a half-assed answer. You have to come back ready to go. Because you've got half the country watching. Not really watching. I mean, it's on ABC, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. But you have a lot of people who are going to see this clip who have answers, who have comebacks, who have rebuttals. And it's not good enough. It's not good enough to just have Martha Raddatz lecture you on how, you know, you're the only one who seems to be talking about open borders. Well, yeah, Martha, because I care. That's why I'm talking about it. And I visit the border because I care, which is more than I can say for your hero who promised to restore normalcy and be this compassionate, decent president. You think all these kids who are walking, you know, hundreds of miles to get to the border and dying or getting dropped off the border wall by smugglers, or these young women who are being raped on their way here? Does that sound very compassionate to you, Martha? Like, flip the script on these people. Be ready. And that last caller, Mike, said about Donald Trump, that was why he really was able to connect with people. And I agree. In 2016, when he would go on these shows, I'll never forget when he was talking to Katie Turr and she was just stumbling over her words, trying to come up with the question. And he said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about." And it was beautiful. And that is the kind of attitude you have to have if you're going to go into the lion's den. You better be ready. But Trump's problem towards the end was that once he got into a position of power and he did have the upper hand and he could ignore them and they needed him more than he needed them. That's the key. They needed him more than he needed them. He couldn't walk away from the table. He could not talk to these people. And I don't think that's good either. 844-500-4242. And as we're talking about this, it's a huge story. Title 42 is ending in 2 days. And now I'm reading from the New York Post that New York's migrant crisis worsens as busloads pull in ahead of Title 42 crush. So shortly after 6 a.m., two buses with about 80 people on board arrived at Port Authority in Midtown, with additional buses from the border scheduled to arrive later today. City council members on Sunday, there was an email sent to them, and the Adams administration warned that 10 to 15 busloads of migrants were expected to arrive in the next 2 days. Now, here's my question. Is Eric Adams to blame for what's happening at the border? Because he keeps talking about it. In fact, I think at one point he actually said Democrats weren't talking about it enough. Is Martha Raddatz going to issue a statement about Eric Adams? Is she going to blame him for this? These are just, you know, some questions I have. Just throwing them out there. 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. Ocean view rooms are priced from just $119.99 during the week and $149.99 a night on weekends through March. So book online at nausetbeachinn.com. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Elon Musk will step down as Twitter CEO?
Yeah, I do. He put it to a vote, and I think it was like 57.5% of people said, yeah, you should step down. He said he would abide by whatever the result was. And so, I have no reason to believe that he won't. Keep in mind, even if he steps down, he appoints somebody else, he's still going to be in charge. You know, it's not like he's going to walk away from the company. But maybe for a tiny little while, it will appease the really, really, really tormented, upset people out there like Keith Olbermann and Taylor Lorenz, who, by the way, I've never seen these people so excited. They're having the best week of their entire life. You know, all I can picture, really, when I think about it, is a reporter like, let me try to think here. Who's a reporter? There's probably so many out there who are waiting and hoping and praying that they're going to get suspended. You know, that's probably on their Christmas list. Please let me get suspended by Elon Musk. Please. This would be the best thing to happen in my career ever. I could get my own podcast out of this. I'm sure there are people who are, you know, praying right now that Musk will suspend them. That's why he should stop doing it, because he's giving them more than they've earned. But yes, Matt, I do think he'll step down.
70% say no.
70% say no. I hope you guys are right, because I like having him there. If nothing else, it is incredibly, incredibly entertaining. Okay, now speaking of Elon Musk, I mentioned this earlier, and I would be remiss if I didn't play it. The whole reason this suspension situation started was because Elon Musk was upset at this account. It's called Elon Jets. And Elon Jets was started by some sort of super fan of Elon Musk, this kid, Jack Sweeney. And he sends out the location of Elon Musk's private plane. Now, I've heard two things. I've heard one group of people say it's public information. Another group says, no, it's a private plane number and he's getting it, you know, through other channels. So it's really private information. So whether or not it meets the level of doxing is kind of up for debate. But what is clear is that Jack Sweeney is no friend of Elon Musk's because he wants him to take this account down. He's offered, I think, before to pay him to take it down. So, of course, CNN, if they find out you're not a friend of Elon Musk, this is the same thing as not being a friend of Donald Trump. If you went against Donald Trump, you were automatically made a star. You were automatically a contender for 2024. Alexander Vindman, Michael Avenatti, Andrew Cuomo. What do they all have in common? You don't like Trump and you go up against him. Even if you lose in tremendous fashion, you're still officially a hero. Anna Navarro, the women on The View, they're all going to slobber all over you for the rest of time because you went up against Trump. I'm starting to figure out that the same rules apply to Elon Musk. If you are against Elon Musk, you will get a call from CNN. You will get a call from MSNBC. You'll get a write-up where the headline is, I poked the Twitter bear. You know, how I ended up banned on Twitter. This is a way to become a star. Forget star search. This is it right here. So take a listen to this kid, Jack Sweeney. He's a teenager. He's on CNN. And they asked him what it would take for him to stop tweeting out Elon Musk's location. And this is what he had to say. Cut six.
So what is your current demand relative to Musk? What will it make for you to go away and stop this?
Still a Tesla or $50,000. I mean, I'm not going to up it. There's no need to.
Oh, nice little extortion on CNN. I haven't seen this kind of extortion since they had Michael Avenatti on. I'm going to start calling Jack Sweeney Avenatti Jr. Maybe we'll get Avenatti Sweeney 2024. This is another thing. This is another resume builder. I tried to extort Elon Musk. Hey, add it to your LinkedIn. We like it. Michael Avenatti extorted Nike. This is all, you know, this has all the makings of a Democrat hero. Mike, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Grace. I listen to your show every day. You're great.
Thank you, sir.
But we're at war now with the Democrats, and I really don't care about appeasing Keith Olbermann. Think about it. The hordes are going to come here. They're going to get free everything, and if you want to see who's going to provide all of it, all you have to do is look in a mirror. One guy called Jeff this morning, and he was talking about the Second Amendment. You know, most of the dirty unwashed that are out here don't have the luxury of...
All right. Thanks, Mike. I don't think we're at war. That's what I want to say first. I appreciate the call. I don't think we're at war. I think that we've got to win. I think we've definitely got to win. I think there's a lot at stake. I'm not interested in appeasing Keith Olbermann either. That was completely a joke. I don't care if Keith Olbermann gets back on Twitter, stays off Twitter. Doesn't make a difference to me. I didn't follow him to begin with. 844-500-4242. But as far as people not working, and that is becoming a real problem. There was actually a really good piece today in the New York Post about how it pays not to work in Biden's America. And here's the proof. Now, this could end up being a real problem for all of us. And this is something Howie's talked about for decades. But today's welfare programs, when you start seeing these numbers of how much money you can make and still get all of these subsidies and still be on welfare, it's pretty amazing to see. And we'll talk about this when we come back. And we'll also take more of your calls. The Capitol Riot Committee proceedings are underway. So if you want to tune into that, go somewhere else, because I will not be playing any of Adam Kissinger, Basinger. I'm not going to play him. I won't. I will say he does look like he might be getting ready for a little cry here. If he cries, it wouldn't be the first time. He does look like he's getting pretty emotional. We'll keep you posted on that. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. The show that doesn't take itself too seriously.
I have a joke for you.
Okay.
The government in this town is excellent and uses your tax dollars efficiently.
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Not a joke.
You know, I was listing all the excuses the Biden administration has given us. Joe has more important things going on. It's not a crisis at the border. It's a situation. We inherited a broken system. It's all Donald Trump's fault. And I almost forgot that Keisha Lance Bottoms, former Atlanta mayor and now senior advisor on public engagement, whatever that means, to Joe Biden. She had a new excuse. And, you know, I'm starting to grade these on a scale of creativity, how outlandish they are, you know, how much they really give me a laugh. And Keisha Lance Bottoms, she delivered. This is cut five, please, Matt.
And simply because people don't see the president at the border doesn't mean that he's not working.
Right. Well, why doesn't he go to the border? He was just in Arizona. Why wasn't it worth his time?
Well, you have to remember, Margaret, when the president travels, it's not like you or I jumping on an airplane and getting off and going to our destination. Everything comes to a halt. So all of these things are in consideration for the president. Is that the best use of resources? All of the resources that will be diverted on the ground when the president makes a visit.
Is that why he didn't go?
Is that visit... Well, I can't speak to why he has or has not gone. I'm just speaking to the fact that it's a bit more disruptive for the president of the United States to travel than you or I. But what the president has done is continue to lean in on this immigration issue.
Wait a second. Hold on now, Keisha. I hate to be a stickler here, but last time I checked, Joe Biden travels quite frequently. Joe Biden travels to Delaware almost every weekend. Joe Biden travels to Nantucket for a little cobblestone stroll over Thanksgiving. He's traveling Joe. Does she know how many miles he's done on the Amtrak? This guy doesn't stop traveling. He's constantly getting out of that White House, the gilded cage, as he calls it. And now I'm supposed to believe that he can't go to the border in Arizona because it's going to cause a traffic jam, because it's going to not be a proper use of resources. How did he get to the interview with Drew Barrymore? Or actually, no, I'm sure she went to the White House. But he's traveled plenty over the last couple months. What a joke. They're really getting bad at this.
Everybody's entitled to be an idiot.
I guess that is true. Zebra, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Zebra.
Yeah, you might have moved on to this, but I found it just stunning that, I guess his name is Sweeney, as I learned from the program, his... giving the location of Elon Musk's plane. It's not just an adult he's doing that to, he's doing it to families. And the very fact that he overtly, and it was brought up that it was dangerous to the person he's doing it to and asking for money, is a de facto extortion situation.
Yeah.
And it's illegal. It's illegal. And I don't think our current Department of Justice is going to do anything because they like...
Yeah, no, Zebra, it is extortion. I mentioned that earlier. It's very Michael Avenatti-esque, which means I'm sure the women on The View are just going to love it. Jack Sweeney, 2024 presidential aspirant.